si esa mujer fuera para mí, perdóname, te lo tenía que decir, tatura.
Okay, welcome back to another exciting show of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. I'm sitting here with Diane. Diane, how are you?
Good, and you, Coach?
I'm pretty good. We've been off the air for, 4 or 5 weeks. Girls went home for their Christmas break. We played our last league game before Christmas, I think about December 1st. Girls had exams. We hung out. We trained till about December 12th, 13th. We let them go home. They came back we came back December 26th, and we had our Christmas tournament over the holidays, and it was a huge success. We had University of Laval was there, who's ranked number one in the country. We had University of Ottawa, who's ranked third in the country at the time, and we had Carleton, who was ranked seventh, and we had Bishop's University. So the way we run the tournament is we have the Quebec schools playing the non-conference schools, because we don't need to play Laval. We play them 4 times already, and it's a great transition back into conference play. I thought it was tremendous for the community. 4 quality games. On the first day, Laval played Carleton and beat them handily by about 30. And we played Ottawa on the first day on December 29th. And Diamo was the score in that game. We got beat pretty good. Ottawa was ranked third in the country.
They won 72-44 against us.
Yeah, so they spanked us pretty good. And, yeah. The next day, that night, we're also in this transition period, and maybe I should give the people out there a bit of a recap of where our program's at. But first of all, on the second day, Laval played Ottawa, and it may have been a preview of the national championship, and it was right here in Lennoxville, number one team in the country versus number three, and it was probably the best women's game I've seen since I transitioned into coaching women, and it was right in the Bishop's University gymnasium, and it was a tight game throughout, like a 1 to 2 point ball game for the first 30 minutes, and then I think Laval cracked them with about 6 or 7 minutes to go. They started to expose some stuff. They went to a 1-2-2 full court press, and they turned Ottawa over a couple of times. I was speaking to the Ottawa coach after that game, and he said, yeah, their point guard hadn't experienced that yet, so they'll adjust, but that was enough to win the ball game, and then we went on the floor versus number 7 Carleton, and we were up, I think, 12 early in the fourth quarter, and we ended up losing by 3. Been a bit of a pattern with us this year. We don't have a lot of depth, and we compete with some of the top teams in the country, and we falter down the stretch, and it is a learning experience, and we are learning to cope with it a bit better. But Diane, what was the score in that game?
So the Carleton Ravens won 57-54 against us.
It was a hell of a game, and they were ranked 7th in the country, defending national champions. All right, 2 former Champlain Lennoxville Cougars on that team, Cynthia Dupont and Emma Huff. And it was nice for them to be back in Lennoxville playing games. Bit of a heartbreaker for us, but we're transitioning. And just to give you an update on the team, we had a really tough first semester in terms of some stuff that was going on. We signed 2 girls from Argentina, and beginning of the year, one of them was out with doing rehab for a reconstructive knee surgery. She tore her ACL in May, and so she rejoined the team for this tournament and played limited minutes. And the other girl, Emma Siciliano, who we're going to be talking to in a Meet a Gator segment in a couple of minutes, she had visa problems first semester. So she started the season in school, then her visa got refused, then it got refused again, and then we had to send her home. And then on December 22nd, we got an early Christmas gift. Her visa came through, and it was a crazy experience, but she flew in the night of the 29th, got into Lennoxville about 3 in the morning. We had a practice on December 30th at 9 a.m., and we played Carleton at 1 p.m., and, it was nice to have her back, but the reality is that we've got like a totally new team the second semester.
Yes.
We're transitioning, and the dynamics totally changed. So we started the season with Am at the 1. Then she had visa issues, so now we had to redefine roles for everybody. Now she comes back. We gotta integrate her back into the fold, and we have to integrate Tamara Pinto back into the fold. So it's been, you know, it's like we're starting over in January. It's like September for those two girls, and the other girls are all on a different page right now, and we're sorting that out, and it's been kind of neat. And further to that, we had a young lady leave the program just before the new year started, Evmarie Houle, great young lady, gave us a year and a half, and for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't always work out for everybody, but she was tremendous in our program, worked hard in the classroom, worked hard on the court, but she decided to go back to Quebec City and live with her family, and I think she's going to be going to University of Laval, and we wish her all the best, all right, but we're going to miss her, and we're going to miss the minutes she provided. And another post player, Marika Couture, has, it looks like she might have a herniated disc, so she's been out, you know, since after that Christmas tournament. She hobbled through that tournament, but, you know, when she came back after the new year, she saw a doctor, and it looks like she might be out for the rest of the year. So, you know, we've had to deal with a bunch of adversity. So those are some of the things we're dealing with the program right now. And, you know, I'm happy with the way the girls are reacting to things, and we seem to be coming together. Diane, what's your feel on how all this stuff has affected the team and where we are at right now?
I feel like the girls were sad, I guess, when Evmarie left.
Yeah.
And with what's happening with Marika, like the girls are there for Marika, trying to make her feel better, because you could tell like she's affected by it. But we know that we have a job to do, and we have all the pieces to still have something good this season. So everyone is just trying to focus and do their best in practice, learn from their mistake, try to not repeat them, and then try to get things done.
Yeah, like I noticed today, for instance, you know, we're starting to get on the same page.
Yes.
You know, I saw it today for the first, I saw it at the, in the last 10 minutes of practice. I was waiting, and then I saw it when we brought the group in and we played a bit.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting ready. And you know, it's we need to be on the same page in order to compete in this conference, which is just crazy. We got Laval, who's ranked number one in the country, and we got Concordia, who's ranked number two in the country in our conference, and every game is a playoff game, and any little error, all right, we have very little room for error with this group of kids, because we're young and we're inexperienced, and we're bringing in two new kids at Christmas. So it was nice to see a glimpse of what we can be this morning.
Yes.
All right, and before we move on to a Meet a Gator segment, I'd like to touch on how we did academically first semester, all right, because that's a big component of our strategic plan and what we try to sell when we're recruiting kids. And you know, Diane, you keep an eye on the academics.
Yes.
You make sure the kids are going to class, you make sure that they have tutors when they need them, you make sure that they're reporting their grades on time.
Yeah.
and we red flag any athletes that may be in trouble academically. We, you know, in the last 2 years, you know, unbelievably, and Diane, you've been a big part of the reason why, is we had a team average of 80 for the last 2 years, which is huge. I was a bit disappointed. Like, no one failed any classes last semester, and we had a young core, all right, but I think we had a 74 average. So that was a bit disappointing. How did you feel about that?
That was disappointing as well. But I believe it's because we have a lot of rookies who are Francophone, or English is not their first language.
Yeah.
So then they're still adjusting. It's taking them longer. But they all have come to me and said, well, my average was not good. So they actually told me, let's say, Marika said she's concerned about her grades. What can she do better? And right now she's actually not even sleeping. Like, she's going to sleep later, let's say at 11 last night, because she's trying to study. So they're trying to get better academically.
I mean, that's a positive, right? And like I think our team average took a hit. Last year we graduated four seniors, all right, who all were... They had transitioned into being quality student athletes, and their marks were important. And so now we have some first-year kids who are learning how to study and balance athletics with academics for the first time. So I'm pretty confident that we're gonna rebound academically, and we're gonna get those marks up. So I think second semester brings new hope. All right, and we look forward to a great second semester. Right now we're still holding down the final playoff spot, but it's going to be, we're going to be tested throughout the second semester. So that just about wraps up our first segment. We're going to be right back with Emma Siciliano in our Mitigator segment. Okay, welcome back to Mitigator segment. This is Craig Norman. I'm sitting here with Diane Angerville, graduate assistant coach, and we're joined by Emma Siciliano today. Emma, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Emma's a first-year student athlete. All right, she's studying business at Bishop's University. She's had quite a basketball journey in her young life. Emma just turned 19 in September, so she's very young. All right, she's transitioning to living in a new culture, transitioning to dealing with Coach Norman on a daily basis, which is probably the hardest thing she's had to deal with in a while. She's transitioning to living in the community in Lenoxville and transitioning to studying in English. And I mean, it's been unbelievable. Emma's from Buenos Aires, Argentina. I'll tell you this, some background information. Emma came down for a visit last October, you know, and she decided to sign with Bishop's. We were totally blown away by that because she's a talent that comes around once in a lifetime for a coach, all right? We were blessed to have Edith Noblechilla at the one, and Emma is an upgrade, all right? Her game is complete. All right, the only difference is Edith was 27 years old and Emma's 19. So she's lacking a bit of experience in this university league, but what she lacks in experience, she makes up for in talent, and she's played a ton of international basketball. Emma, maybe if you will, can you talk a bit about the sports system in Argentina and how it works?
Well, in Argentina, there is ton of clubs where you do your sport. It's not like here that is connected with the university of the high school. So it's separated, the academics and sports.
So at a young age, do you decide which club you're going to play for, or do they come and recruit you?
No, you're going to start at 4, for example. And then you have to choose, but then they start recruiting you like around 11, 12, 13.
Wow. Now you've played at a very high level in Argentina. You've won club championships, but more importantly, you've represented your country internationally. And I'm wondering, in Argentina, when do you start to get recognized as an elite athlete, as an elite level national team player for Argentina?
Choosing the senior years in the senior team.
Yeah. So how old would someone be?
24, 25.
But you played in like junior national team and U18 or U17. Like when did you first start playing for Argentina?
When I was 14 or 13, and 1 year older.
Wow. Now when did basketball start to become like an obsession or a huge part of your life?
Always family thing.
Yeah. And you were introduced to the sport by who? Your mom?
Yeah, well, about everybody. My mom, grandmother, everybody.
And talk to me a bit about, like, I've heard from the girls a bit, and I think I've heard from you, your mom was a bit of a basketball player.
Oh yeah, she was in the national team too.
Really?
Yeah, she was.
Wow, so she must be very proud of you. Do you feel Do you feel like, I know for myself growing up, my dad put a lot of pressure on me playing some sports. Like, how have you dealt with your mom being a national team player and you trying to follow in her footsteps? Has that been difficult or has it been...
Yeah. I can't stand with her after a bad game.
No?
No.
She talks to you about everything?
Yeah.
That's the way my dad was. Now, can you talk a bit about your most... Like, what are some of your fondest memories playing for Argentina? Like, maybe some of the countries you visited and maybe some of the performances you had.
Playing against the States.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where was that game?
It was in Mexico.
In Mexico. And was it a close game?
Well, no. We lost by 30, which was not bad. But even though that we lost, it was the States.
Was it a great... Like how... What did it feel like when you went onto the court and you got Argentina... written on your uniform, but you look across and you see USA.
USA.
And historically, for all you listeners out there, the USA is the dominant country in basketball.
It is.
And what was going on in the locker room before that game? Was everybody excited to go?
Yeah.
Now, can you talk a bit about what it's been like leaving Argentina to study elsewhere? And why was that important to you?
Well, I was one of the girls who had the club and the school in the same, like, in the same club. Because my club was in sport, and it had, like, also sports studies. So it wasn't difficult for me either. But, yeah.
I think it's like, the sports systems are different in Europe and South America from Canada and the U.S. in that we tie university basketball with our elite players. So I think it's a great thing that you can get an education and you can play basketball at a pretty high level, you know. Have you found it difficult trying to combine academics and athletics?
Not really.
I mean, you're doing, you know, what little work you've done in the classroom has been like, have you found it? Well, answer this question. What's it been like studying in English for the first time?
I think that coming here 2 months earlier helps me a lot with the English, so I have no problems with the English in the class.
Like, just so everybody out there is aware of this, Emma came here, I think she got here maybe July 1st or something like that.
Yeah,
she had to leave home, all right? She had to leave her family, all right? In July, had to come to Bishop's, and part of her admission to Bishop's was she had to agree to do an intensive English language course in July and do well in that, and then she would be admitted to Bishop's, and she ended up getting, I think you had an 80 average in that, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty with that was that Emma was away from her family for such a long time. How did you deal with that, Emma?
Well, it's not like I'm family girl, I'm mommy's baby.
Yes.
So I miss home a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, here it's not that hard. Like, I need to go to my home because I miss them, but it's not that hard here because you're always doing things.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you, with today's technology, with the phones and the different apps, I think you're probably able to talk to your mom quite often, correct?
Yeah, FaceTime every day, every time.
Now, can you maybe talk a bit about your stay so far in Canada? How do you feel about the winters? What do you feel about Bishop's University? What do you feel about, like, the new team? Like, the whole experience. What's it been like for you?
Well, this is the real winter. It's insane.
You know? And then, like, let me just say one other thing. Like in Argentina right now, it's summer.
Yeah.
So Emma's in a position where she could be here in the winter, and then when she goes home to Argentina in the summer, it's the winter there. So that's
yep, I'm going least, to have winter.
But at least you got to go home during Christmas time, and the weather was beautiful. Eh?
Yeah, 35, not too bad.
What about, like, the culture here in Canada? Are you enjoying the people in Canada? And is it much different than living in Buenos Aires and just the overall culturally? How has that been?
I found it here different because it's like small town.
Yeah.
And I live downtown of Buenos Aires, which is like a ton of people. Yeah. And that's the worst part, I think. But the culture is quite the same.
Yeah. I mean, the people in Canada are pretty welcoming. Yeah. Eh? Now, you know, Abba's had this crazy first semester. All right. She had to leave home. Young girl. Move away from home. All right. And she ran into some visa issues. And, you know, she had this tremendous start to the season. All right. She played against some great teams. She had 29 points against Ryerson, who is currently ranked third in the country. She had 22 against Saskatchewan, who's coached by our Olympic team coach, and they're now ranked fifth. All right? She gave us a tremendous boost, just a tremendous start to her career. There was a buzz about it, and then her visa got denied for whatever reason. It was just a crazy situation. So she had to deregister from school. It was a total shock. Then she reapplied. She was denied again. It was just two punches right in the face. And then, you know, she had the character to try a third time. And on December 22nd, Emma, when you got the news that it was okay, was that a big day for you?
It was a surprise because it was too fast.
Like, did you think it? Like, what were you? Did you think? Tell me this: when you submitted it the third time, were you kind of pessimistic or optimistic? I don't know if you know what like optimistic means. You, like,
yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to don't think about it.
Yeah, I mean, because you really don't have too much control. I mean, I tell you, when I found out, I was like, I said to Diane, do you believe in Santa Claus? I said, because we just got an early Christmas present. And then when I told the girls, they were all like, well, when is she going to be back? You know, will she make it back for the tournament? And I mean, that was a crazy thing, because now you had to bring your passport into the Argentinian embassy, and you had to wait over the holidays, because it was the holidays, to get it stamped. And you got it on December 27th. So then you book a flight for December 29th. And you get back into Lennoxville at like 3 in the morning, and you have to play against the 7th ranked team in the country. What was that like?
The practice was extra at 9 a.m.
Yeah. You know? I thought you had a great impact on the game, but it must have been hard with your legs, getting your legs in that game, eh?
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
19-hour flight was not cool.
Now we're in the difficult transition of getting everybody back on the same page. And I was telling Diane today, I felt like for the last 10 minutes of practice today, we started to come together. I don't know if you felt it, but I saw it. I saw you putting extra effort into like pushing the ball up the floor. And I feel like we're starting to get there. How are you feeling about things?
We're going to win.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be okay. I think with, you know, we basically got a new team in the second semester, and it's been an interesting dynamic, and I appreciate your patience, and I think it's going to pay off. Now, maybe you could talk a bit about what are some of your goals for the second semester, like in the classroom and on the court. Have you set any goals for yourself?
I don't know. In the course, I want to pass the playoff here in Quebec. Like with the girls, we want to go maybe to the nationals. Well, not maybe, like we want to.
Yeah.
And then in the classroom, I don't know, I want to be all Canadian too.
Yeah, academic all Canadian. That would be a great accomplishment. Like, what do you feel about, like, how is basketball different in Argentina, in the league you were playing in and the league you're playing in now? Like are there differences? And like, can you talk a bit about the differences and the similarities?
It's different. I find it different in the Buenos Aires league, like in the regional league, because like it's not that good at my age. I have to play in the senior team.
Yeah.
That is like,
so you're not being challenged as much there.
Not at my age.
Yeah.
Like I have to play against the people who play in the national team too.
Yeah.
In the senior team. But in the pro league, is different because you have foreign hit people from the States, from Europe, which is better.
Yeah.
But I don't play in January and February because it's summer, so I'm holidays in Argentina.
Okay.
So
tell me, like, I think, I'm hoping that this league here, which I think is very competitive, I'm hoping that it could help you develop to go to the next step of your career. I think, so it's higher, would you say it's higher than your age group in Argentina? So you think it might help you transition to the next level in your career?
Yes, I'm keep playing until, like, I will keep playing on, like, the other players are going to be, like, in holidays, just like pre-season.
Perfect, yeah. I'm wondering, how does your family feel about you being so far away? I know that you got, I think, three wonderful young brothers, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've seen great pictures of them, and you got your mom and your dad who love you tremendously and follow your basketball career. I mean, how do they feel about you being in Canada?
Well, they was the ones who booked my flight one day to another. Yeah. Like, it was not me, it was them.
so they encouraged it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think they, you know, hopefully you're going to leave here and you're going to have a business degree, and I think hopefully it's going to help your future. And I think by the time you graduate from here, you're going to be a big part of this Bishop's community. And I think the Bishop's community has already embraced you, and you're already, like, totally into the Bishop's community. Now, here's a question we ask all the girls at the end, all right? Because you're like a role model. You're a role model for a lot of young girls out there. And you're an international basketball player. There's girls out there who would like to know, like, if you could give them, like, what advice would you give to a young girl who wants to be a great basketball player and maybe play for their country one day? What advice would you give them?
I don't know. It's just, like, patient. Like, I won't say just go to practice and do extra work, because I just do it because I want to be in the gym. It's not that I have to. Like, I want to do it.
Well, I saw yesterday, all right, like this. So everybody out there, you got to understand, Emma works hard on her basketball game. She doesn't just show up to practice. Yesterday, I saw you take out the shooting machine, all right, and I was happy because I walked out of my office and I looked and said, all right, I was getting some extra shots up. And then I had to go do some stuff and I was gone for at least, I don't know, a long time. I came back and you were still shooting. So, you know, it's not just like it comes, like you have to work at it, correct?
Yeah.
Now, we ask our young guests here too, all right, because sometimes Coach Norman, he doesn't pick the song of the week so well that people like it. So we're wondering, what song did you pick for the song of the week this week and why?
Duria.
Duria? Who's that by?
It's by Daddy Shanky.
Okay, and does it have special meaning to you?
No, it's like a good Spanish song.
Okay. I'm hoping I got in trouble once for playing a French song. I'm hoping I can play a Spanish tune. What do you think, Coach Andrew?
I think you can.
Yeah? All right, well, Emma, look, it was great having you. I thought you were terrific. I wish you continued success on the court and in the classroom, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to the wrap-up segment of Time Out with Coach Norman. Still sitting here with Diane Angerville. We had to reintegrate this program back onto the air, so we had a ton of information to feed you in the first segment, all right? And we're going to give you information in this segment that we usually give in the first segment. Last week, we started our conference play, all right? And we had two games versus the Concordia Stingers. The first game was Thursday night in Montreal at Concordia. And then we played them Saturday night in Lennoxville. They're currently ranked number 2 in the country. And deservedly so. They're 15-2. They're really, really talented. They're tough. They do a lot of things well. I think it was a great test for us, but you know, unfortunately, we took two punches in the head, and we're still standing. You know, we went down to Concordia on Thursday, and we had a decent first quarter, but the second quarter, the wheels fell off completely. We got outscored 21-2. We were down 39-11 at halftime.
Yes.
And we had to take a good hard look in the mirror, everybody, including the coaching staff. Like, we just weren't ready to go. And tell you what, we came out and we go on a 15-0 run in the second half. And with a little break here and there, we were in a position to win a game that we were down 28 at the half. The girls showed great, great character. All right, we cut the lead to, I think, 9 at one point, and we couldn't hit shots. And I was extremely proud of the girls. All right. Saturday night, we come back, and we're playing the same Concordia Stingers in our own gym. And we end up losing, I think, by 15 or 17. But with 7 minutes to go, it's 54-48. And we were there with them, and we didn't fall behind this time. And we were, you know, we exchanged blows with them. In the end, you know, I believe that they're ranked second in the country for a reason, and they hit shots at the end of the clock, and we missed shots at the end of the clock. And that was the difference, all right? We got good shots. We didn't knock them down. And the girls are fully aware of that. And, you know, we may have relented on the defensive end a bit that I wasn't happy with, but man, did we compete, all right? And it's just so disheartening when you go into the locker room and you've had like a great effort,
and you
come up short. Sure. And you know, I was disappointed. I maybe said some things to the girls that maybe I shouldn't have said. I know I wasn't totally out of line, but you know, their effort was unbelievable. And you had Maud Archambault, who had 24 points. You had Marie Berouette, who played 40 minutes and had 12 points and 14 rebounds. You know, like, just some outstanding performances. You have Tamara Pinto. I don't know how many minutes did she play the second night?
She played 23 minutes.
23 nights the second minute, coming off an ACL. You had Amma Siciliano, Mitch Gabalis, all right, Ashley Malum, just playing their butts off. And you know, I was so happy with, so happy yet so disappointed, right, that we didn't get rewarded more. But I think those rewards will come. And like I said earlier, I feel like we're starting to get on the same page, you know. And the reality is, you know, our two biggest games of the year await us this week.
Yes.
All right. And the crazy part of this league, Diane, Every game is a playoff game.
Yes.
All right, it's ultra intense. Now, what were your thoughts on those two games?
Well, the first game, obviously, we didn't play our best in the first half. But after, once the girls, like, as you said, like, we can't play any worse, so let's just play our best. And then the girls did, and we got Concordia to take a couple turnovers in the first minutes of the third quarter, and then the momentum changed, and when we started to get going, and we did come up short, but it was a wake up call to the girls, like, yes, we can compete with those teams. We just have to always work hard. We can't take any breaks.
See, I think that's the key, right? You hit it right on that. Like the girls, number one, have got to believe.
Yeah.
All right, and the thing is, we've seen that as good as those teams are, we can compete with them.
Yes.
You know, but we've got to do it for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And we've got to do it, you know, on a consistent basis. And it comes down to two words to me: work and sacrifice. Yeah. Sacrifice and work. Because in the end, they're the same thing. And, and when we get down to working and sacrificing for one another, we're as good as any team in the country.
Yes.
And we can beat any team in the country. Problem is like I said to, I think I said to the team, I think I may have said to the coaching staff, we're good. Like, we could beat Concordia by 20 points on a given night, but we could lose by 40 to them.
Yes.
I think right now, because of our inexperience, all right, our worst nights are really bad.
Yeah.
All right, it doesn't matter how good you are on your best night; it matters how bad you are on your worst night. And we gotta shorten the gap there. We gotta be more consistent in what we bring to the table on a given night.
Yeah.
All right. Now this week, we got UCamp coming up, and they've been a nemesis over the years. And right now, all right, we're sitting in fourth place with a 1-7 record, and they're sitting in fifth place with an 0-7 record.
Yes.
All right, so These are two playoff games, and I, you know, I hate to put any added pressure on the girls, but you know what? Going, like, we go down to UChem on the front end of this back-to-back on Thursday night, and Diane, we better be ready to play.
Yes.
You know, like, I mean, you know, I'll ask your opinion first and foremost, like, over, like, what are your feelings about going into that UChem gym, and what are your feelings about UChem as a team and as a program, and how they reflect their coach?
Well, UChem is a bit like Concordia. They're very physical,
yeah,
and normally, like, they foul so much that the refs don't call the fouls.
Yeah.
So we have to be ready to get hit, but we have to be able to punch back, I would say. So if we have the mindset that, I think the girls are getting ready and they know how crucial those games are and that we have to win. So they just have to stay focused and stay on their toes, be ready to react. And then I think if we just keep our heads up and, like, just keep pushing, keep going to the glass, stick to the game plan, I think we'll be just fine.
If we could somehow get all our five girls just doing their jobs.
Yeah.
All right, it's going to allow their talent to come out. I think that they're all trying their hardest. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes they stray from the system.
Yeah.
And they got to stay the course if we're going to win on the road. All right. I think a fear of mine is the same fear I had going into Concordia, that Tamara and Emma have no idea of the environment they're going into and how hard it is to play in that gym, because like, you're basically going into a basement.
Yeah.
All right. And it's a weird environment. And, you know, UChem is always ready there, and crazy stuff happens in that gym. But you know what? I think we're ready to go. I think we match up well with that team.
Yeah.
You know, Coach Albina Branzova does a great job with that team. You know, but they played last week. They played against Laval, and they lost the first game by 9.
Yeah.
And then they lost the second game by 46. So they suffer kind of from the same thing as us.
Right.
On their best nights, they're pretty good. On their worst nights, they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right? So I think it's going to be two teams fighting for their playoff lives.
Yes.
And it's going to be really interesting. So for all you people out there, Saturday night, what is it, January 19th, I believe?
Yes.
All right? We play UChem Citadens at 6 o'clock at the Bishop's Gymnasium, and we hope to see people there. Now, you know, further to, like, you know, this league, I just want to, you know, I'm hoping Diane, she can give you a recap of maybe some of the other games. Do you have a recap of some of the other games last week in our conference?
So, yeah, as you just said, on Wednesday, Laval played against UChem and they won 68-59. Then UChem went back to Laval and they lost 48-94. And after that, there were our games. The first one, when we went to Concordia and we lost 66-53, and when Concordia went to our home and we lost 75-57.
Now, what other games are there this week in the University League?
So on Thursday, we play first at Concordia, and also
at
there'll UCAM. Be at UChem, sorry, and then McGill will play at Concordia.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, UChem will come to us here at Lenoxville, and then Concordia will be at McGill.
So it's going to be an interesting. So Laval has a bye week, correct?
Yes.
And maybe you can just go through the standings 1-5 in our league.
So Laval is in first place. They're 7-0. Concordia second place, 6-1. McGill third place. They're 3-2. And we're in fourth place, 1-7. And UChem 0-7.
So it's shaping up to be interesting. You know, and it's a crazy league, and us and UChem are way better than our record indicates. I'll tell you that right now. Now, the top 10 just came out this morning. All right, the coaches vote on Monday for the top 10, and it's released Tuesday morning. So I'm going to go through that. Number one in the country, all right, is Laval, University of Laval from Quebec. All right, number two, Concordia University. All right, number three is Ryerson. Now, the interesting part about the top three is we've played Laval twice. We played Concordia three times, and we played Ryerson twice. Number four is McMaster. Number five is Saskatchewan. We played them. Number six is Ottawa. We played them. Number seven is Calgary. Number eight is Carleton. We've played them. Number nine is Regina. Number 10 is Lakehead. So Diane, like, our strength of schedule is nuts.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what I tried to tell Emma yesterday is I think she feels like she's struggling a bit, which she's where she she should be, given all the stuff that's happened thus far. We're playing against great competition.
Yeah.
And she's got to get her timing back. Our team's got to get their timing back. And I think we're about to rebound big time and get on with this thing and put ourselves in a position where we can make the playoffs. Now, each week on Time Out with Coach Craig Norman, everybody's favorite segment is the coaching tip of the week with Coach Anderville. Diane, what do you got for us this week?
It's about when you're trying to introduce new plays or new concept to your teams, especially for younger athletes. So players learn by seeing, others learn by doing, and some players can actually visualize what they hear. So when trying to explain a play or a new drill, make sure that you use those three methods to get everyone to understand what you're trying to implement. For example, yesterday I was teaching my team how to do transition defense. And the first thing I did was I did a recap because the rebounding spots are part of what we do for our are integrated into our transition defense.
Okay.
So I try to connect everything so then they get a bigger picture of what I'm trying to do. So first I drew what I wanted on the board, tried to get them to visualize it. Then we went on the court. I placed everyone in their spots, making sure I told them, well, now you're under the basket, you're in your rebounding spots. Then once you get the ball, I had a couple people on offense moving the ball so they know exactly where they should be. So that was the doing part. And then I had them actually do the transition defense, getting back to the other side. And then once we did it in slow motion, I got them to do it a bit faster. Then we started to play just to get them to actually do it. And so I implemented all three methods. And then within 5-10 minutes, everyone was on the same page, everyone actually doing it. And then the next step will be to keep practicing until everyone gets to their spots and they're comfortable with their role.
It's a great coaching tip, all right? And I think athletes sometimes don't understand how everything is connected, yep. Right? Like the rebounding spots allow you, and then the rebounding spots come from a shot on offense, yep. But the rebounding spots allow you to now transition into defense.
Yep.
And the transition into defense, getting back defensively, now leads into your half court.
Yep.
And now when you're playing half court defense, the other team shoots, and now that leads into your transition offense. But these systems have all got to be interconnected.
Yeah.
I thought you made an interesting point about visualizing, all right? And I think it's important, all right? And this is something for coaches out there, that visualization, all right? You can practice your sport without necessarily playing it physically, all right? You could be at home in the evening. Like I spoke with Marika Katsour about staying sharp. So if an athlete is injured, for instance, all right, number one, they must stay fit, all right? So they need to find a way to keep their cardio up. So maybe they can only go in the pool, or maybe they can ride the bike, but they've got to stay fit. And they've got to stay sharp in terms of, like, tactical and technical stuff. Now, they probably can't get on the court or the rink, but what they can do is they can, if they put aside 10 to 15 minutes a day, they could sit down in a chair or lie on a bed, close their eyes, and they could see themselves performing skills, and they could see themselves performing systems.
Yes.
And that will keep you sharp. And it's an area that's not tapped into as much with coaches, but that's mental training. So listen, I think that was a tremendous coaching tip of the week.
Thank you.
That just about wraps up our show. I think it was a great show. A bunch of information getting you back into the fold with Bishop's University Women's Basketball Program. We're so pleased to have this opportunity to have this show on CJMQ. Thanks to Emma. Diane, thanks to you.
Okay.
And we'll see everybody next week. Have a great, great weekend, and we hope to see you at our game this Saturday versus UCAM.